Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Genesis in the 39th chapter as we hear of Joseph, son of Jacob, in the house of Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's captains of his army. Beginning with verse 1, we hear, "Now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master, and his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. He made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he had no concern for anything but for the food that he ate. For Joseph was now a handsome and good-looking man. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' And he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look with me here. My master has no concern about anything in the house and has put everything he has in my hand. He is not greater in this house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And although she had spoken to Joseph day after day, he would not consent to lie beside her or be with her. One day, however, when he went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment and said, 'Lie with me.' But he left the garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last summer, we spent a month about this time of year focused on how we could see the truths of the Bible illustrated in some unusual places. And we looked at Pixar films for that, how they helped us understand what we saw in the Bible and know in our lives to be true. So this summer, we're going to follow up on that same sort of idea, but we're not going to find ourselves in the land of Pixar. But this year, we're going to find ourselves up close with some heroes, some super and some not so super heroes. And today, we're going to kick it off with one of those all-star superheroes that I think many of you will know at least a little bit about. We're going to start with Superman. All right, so what are some of the things that you know about Superman? What do you know, Jacob? Laser eyes. All right, what else do we know about Superman? Oh, he can... more powerful than a locomotive. He can leap over buildings. What do you know? He flies. Superman flies. That's pretty super. Faster than a speeding bullet. Yeah. Ah, he's not from here. His father sent him. Yeah. What else do we know about Superman? Oh. So Superman's pretty super, but he does have a weakness. So Superman is pretty super. He sounds like quite the formidable superhero, and I would not want to have to go up against Superman. He does have one weakness, though. What's that weakness? Call it out. Kryptonite. Kryptonite. Kryptonite is Superman's weakness. And it's not just a small problem for Superman. It can be a big problem for Superman. In fact, kryptonite blocks his powers and sometimes even brings Superman to the brink of collapse. Kryptonite in the hands of a villain allows that villain to gain the upper hand over Superman. And if this villain understands kryptonite well, the villain can even almost defeat or perhaps completely defeat Superman through kryptonite. Now, did you know that there is not just one form of kryptonite? These are the things I've learned this week. So most of the time when we see in comic books and on screens, what color is kryptonite? Green. So the most common form of kryptonite is green. But did you know that there are other colors of kryptonite? Other varieties. There is even periwinkle kryptonite. This is something I've learned this week. Yeah, kryptonite comes in all different colors, and each color has a different sort of effect on Superman. For instance, some of them remove his powers, while others make him behave recklessly. And there's even one form of kryptonite that gives Superman animalistic superpowers. Kryptonite in each color, each variation, has a different effect on Superman. But each of them affects him in a way that hinders or disarms him of his superpowers. Each kind of kryptonite still does damage to Superman. And some of them can render him essentially useless. Now, I don't want you to become deluded into thinking that you are Superman. We're not out to save the whole world Superman style, but I do want you to put yourself in Superman's shoes for just a minute. All right. Now that you're in Superman's shoes, you know you need to be aware of your weakness, of your kryptonite. So I need you to think of what kryptonite is in your life, what it looks like, what it feels like. What are the things that are as kryptonite to you? What are the things that hold power over you, that if you let them run wild in your life, would destroy you or ruin things that you have worked hard for? What are the things that you should run away from? And it might not just be one color of kryptonite in your life. There might be various shades and forms that kryptonite would come in. Maybe it's flattery or pride, or maybe it's jealousy, or maybe it's an addiction, and not just to alcohol or drugs, but to screens or to sugar. Maybe it's dependence on another person in unhealthy ways. Each of us has at least one source of kryptonite. And if we're being honest, we probably have multiple things that are as kryptonite to us. There are different colors, different ways that different things have effects on us, but each of them hold sway to make us less than who we were created to be if we allow these kryptonites power over us. See, what we're really talking about here is temptation. Temptation, when we give into it, causes all sorts of harm, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. But temptation can damage us on the inside, on the outside, and in our relationships with others. Temptation is a reality in our lives. But it's not necessarily good or bad, just like kryptonite for Superman is a reality in the world. There is kryptonite out there, and Superman knows that. The problem is when he comes within close proximity of that kryptonite and it cripples his powers or changes him in ways that are damaging or hindering to him. Temptation in and of itself isn't bad. What is bad is when we allow that temptation to gain power over us and we sin. You see, Jesus faced temptation many times. One of the most powerful times we have recorded in Scripture of Jesus facing temptation is at a time where he is pretty weak. You see, he's been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter comes and says, "Jesus, gosh, you've been here alone out in the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights. You must be starving. There's been no food, no water to drink, nobody to talk to. It's just been you in the sand. Here's a rock. You can turn it into a loaf of bread." But Jesus doesn't take the temptation. So the tempter takes him to the top of the temple, says, "You could jump off the top of this, and God will save you. You won't be smashed up at the bottom and turned into a human little jumble of blob. You'll be perfectly safe when you get to the bottom." And Jesus, again, turns the tempter down. And so, one more time, the temptation comes. "Jesus, you can have all the power of all the kingdoms of all the world. The only catch is you have to bow down and worship me." And Jesus once more does not give into temptation. And that was just in one day. All three of those temptations, just in one day that Jesus faced. Temptation is out there, but Jesus faced temptation head on, countering it with scripture and with physical separation from the temptations, walking away time after time. In our Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 39 today, we hear of some temptation once again. This time we hear of Joseph, a boy who had been his father's favorite, favored in Jacob's house. And it caused some trouble with his brothers. And so they took him and put him in a pit and told his father he was gone. And to make sure that he was gone, they sell him to a caravan traveling to Egypt. So Joseph is sold by his own brothers into slavery and taken to Egypt. And it's in Egypt that he is once again sold, this time to one of the chiefs in the Pharaoh's army, a captain of the guard, we're told, to Potiphar. And Potiphar buys Joseph and brings him to his house to take care of his estate, the things outside of the house and the fields and the affairs that go on within the walls of the house. And Potiphar watches and sees that everything that Joseph does is successful. Everything that he touches works out for the good of Potiphar's household. And he knows that something is special about Joseph. And Joseph remains faithful to Potiphar. You see, Joseph could have said, like, "Wow, this is going really great, and Potiphar won't know it if I keep a little extra stockpiled over here just for my own use, for my own self, or if I skim a little off the top when I take his crops to market. I'm selling them for such a good price. He won't notice that there's a little missing." But Joseph doesn't give in to that temptation. He remains faithful to Pharaoh and executes his household well, keeps everything in line and in order, until one day he's spotted by Potiphar's wife. We're told in Scripture that Joseph is handsome and good-looking, and Potiphar's wife notices Joseph and decides that she wants to put her hands on him. He's strong and an excelling young man in the household, and he's supposed to be off limits to her desires and advances. But she gives into temptation and tries to corral Joseph against his wishes and tempt Joseph into doing wrong as well. Joseph understands that he is being looked square in the eye by temptation. And instead of giving in and agreeing to go along with Potiphar's wife, he does as we should do. He runs away, fleeing from temptation. Literally, he runs away. Potiphar's wife goes to grab him and just gets his outer garment. He leaves it behind and takes out the door. Superman has to do something similar when it comes to kryptonite. He has to get out of its presence as fast as possible. He has problems when he's nearby kryptonite. And so perhaps both Superman and Joseph have something instructive for us. If we allow temptation to take up residence near us and around us, we're more likely to cozy up to it and to let it have control in our lives. We must leave the presence of temptation if we're going to be able to hold up against it and stay strong with God. But Superman has one other strategy he can use against kryptonite. If there is some reason that he can't get away from it, there is still one way that he can protect himself from it. Does anyone know what's needed to decrease the power of kryptonite when it's in Superman's presence? Lead, yes. If the kryptonite is covered with lead, it no longer holds powers against Superman. It acts as a protective shield. Superman's safe and won't be harmed by it when there's lead covering the kryptonite. Now, the same is true in our lives. Have you ever gone to a doctor's office or a dentist's office and needed x-rays taken? And you know that they put a shield over the vulnerable parts of your body, and in that shield that is so heavy is lead. Lead, so that you won't be exposed to unnecessary radiation. There's a real separation that occurs there so that the rays can't do harm. Friends, sometimes we can't run or flee from temptation, and we need another strategy for dealing with it. We need a barrier, something like lead, that won't allow that temptation to permeate our lives. And one of the things that we can do to help us resist the power of temptation, especially when removing it completely from our presence isn't an option, is to use accountability. Accountability means that we're going to let someone else know when we have a temptation in our lives so that they can help keep a safe distance or construct a barrier or check in regularly with us or whatever is needed to remind us that we're not giving in to temptation. Jesus, on the night that he prayed in Gethsemane, took some people with him as he prayed a prayer that said, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." He took those with him who could help hold him accountable. So maybe for us, it looks a little different, or maybe it looks really similar. For a person who's addicted to alcohol, maybe it means modifying the home so that it's completely devoid of temptation. But there are places that that person might go that can't have that temptation completely removed. Perhaps it's a holiday work party, and temptation will be present. So another person is told and can help hold the addict accountable and be their way of covering the kryptonite with lead for the evening. Part of accountability is not hiding our kryptonite, not hiding our temptation, not hiding our struggles from one another. In the Superman storyline, There's a time where Superman gives Batman some kryptonite to hang on to, should Superman ever need it, or should Batman ever have need of it. You see, Batman could use it to pull Superman back in line if Superman gets out of control, because he knows that's a possibility. Also, if Superman gets into some really terrible situation and the only way to get him out is by using some kryptonite, Batman will have some. The correction is needed sometimes to save Superman's life. We might be tempted to see our own kryptonites as flaws or failures on our own behalf, but I want to let you in on a secret. It takes courage to face your kryptonite, to face your temptations head on. When we pretend that they don't exist, that they don't have sway over us, that they aren't a big deal, we live dangerously with sin. But facing our temptations takes courage. And so we have that in common this morning. We have that in common with Superman, with Joseph, and with Jesus, who all take courage as they face temptation head on. Thanks be to God. Amen.